And did you know? Lying is the number one characteristic of what it means to be anti-Christ. Anti-Christ. And that's why the Antichrist will be known as the great deceiver, just like his father, Satan. If everybody lied all the time, there would be only chaos, no community. So friends, if we want to leave a legacy of love and a legacy of truth, it's got to begin with us right now. Let's go before the Lord. Perhaps His Holy Spirit has been convicting you even as we've been talking here. Just make it clean. Make it simple. Don't do an Anthony Weiner. Just come clean. God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Become a father that your kids can believe in. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint. I want to urge you to get a copy of our book, Seduction of the Saints. Don't miss out on that. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Remember, if you continue in the Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And we're going to try to bring you up to date on what's happening. But believe me, the whole world economy is contracting. Certainly, Japan is talking about a marked contraction in overall corporate profits, 30%. Toyota is down, could be down 30% in their profits this year. A lot of this, of course, is related to the tsunami and cutting back on production over in Japan. Certainly, the economy in Europe is contracting. The economy in the United States is contracting, and contrary to everything you're being told about, GDP is down, it's only growing 1.8% in the first quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, figures don't lie, but liars figure an awful lot of them work for the government. GDP has to be calculated based upon the inflation rate. So you take the gross domestic product and then you subtract inflation, and that's how you come up with, of course, a proper GDP. Well, if you've got a GDP of a 3% rise and you have a 1% inflation, a 3 or 4% inflation, it knocks GDP down to 2%. But the truth of the matter is, why, of course, we're running at 10% inflation right now, and they simply miscalculate the inflation so they can justify what's going on because of what they're doing. They're planning on doing specifically the worst thing in the world, and that is to inflate and to destroy the value of our currency. But the average individual doesn't understand what's going on today. They don't realize the inflation rate's 10%. It's going to be 14% by the end of this year, 20 to 25% next year, perhaps 30 to 35, maybe 50% the following year. We don't know, but inflation is an invisible tax. And a 10% inflation rate means they're stealing 10% of the value of your currency right now and 15% by the end of this year. And this is going to be disastrous. So actually, if you calculate the GDP with that thought in mind, why the GDP is probably minus 2%, 3%, somewhere in there. You're going to get this from John Williams. He's a trained economist. Remember, I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon, but John Williams is a clever, trained economist. And go to his website, shadowstats.com. You'll find the real inflation rate. You'll find the unemployment rate, certainly. The U6 unemployment rate, if you take out the birth-death ratio, is over 22%. But they can't let the American people know the truth. They can't let them know that they've put out trillions and trillions of dollars in trying to stimulate the economy and got a negative gross domestic product and an unemployment rate, because everything they're doing is wrong. What we should do is allow the economy to collapse, do away with the debt, and start it all over again. Instead of that, they've chosen to destroy the value of the currency and basically to steal what the people have invested in of the value of their pensions. Suddenly you're going to get your Social Security. You're going to get your Medicare. They're just not going to be worth much of anything. Social Security, you're going to have to, you'll get your $1,500 a month, but only buy what $500 used to buy. You'll get your Medicaid or Medicare, but of course they won't provide adequate health care. That's why we're going to have vouchers, so those who can afford to buy care will be able to get it. Right now, if you're over 65, you can't buy health care in the United States, unfortunately, to save your life.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let's see if we can.
Hello, welcome to the Skype call testing service. After the beep, please record a message. Afterwards, your message will be played back to you.
Tune in because they want to hear Bob Chapman talk. So he's on the line here. And hi, Bob. How are we doing?
Bob? Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Bob Chapman talk. So he's on the line here. And hi, Bob. How are we doing? So basically, now as far as we're looking at it, why they tell us that China's having trouble with their economy, it's beginning to contract. Europe is having trouble with their economy. Germany is, their economy is not as strong as it has been. Certainly they're much better than anybody else, but certainly Greece is a basket case. And they've raised the retirement rate from 50 to 70. I mean, they've actually dramatically cut back on government spending. They've increased taxes dramatically over there. I mean, they're simply squeezing the economy, and still, of course, they're running massive deficits. In Spain, the unemployment is 21%. Well, you pick up the story there, though. You know it far better than I do.
Well, the figures in Spain are higher than that. In the age group between 18 and 35, it's about 40%. And I get a couple of issues back. I put in the links to the films of the police in Spain who attack people who weren't doing anything viciously. And if they keep that up in Spain, they'll have a revolution on their hands. Women and children being beaten with these people with these big, long truncheons. But anyway, on Wednesday of this week, the people in Greece are going to drive trucks and wagons and all sorts of mobile vehicles, and they're going to surround the House of Representatives and not let anybody in or out. And that's what's scheduled for two days from now. And they want to get rid of the president and his party, who are socialists and communists, And I think
hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, because Bob says that in Greece on Wednesday they're going to be a mass demonstration. They're going to take trucks and wagons and everything imaginable. They're going to surround the House of Representatives and not let anybody in or out. They're demanding that the government be replaced, the government of Papandreou. Now, you have to understand, Papandreou is a socialist. He's a Bilderberger. His dad was a communist. They've got this thing in awful mess. Some of the things they're doing and what they have to do. I mean, they had to raise the level of retirement. They had, of course, to increase taxes. They had to cut back government spending. But Papandreou, of course, wants to turn over so many of the islands and the various public utilities and the airports and other things to the bankers. And the people there are saying, look, I mean, the bankers got us into this. They got us into the mess. They made these loans knowing that we could never repay them. Well, why should we have to suffer so the bankers can make so much money? And basically over in Europe, they understand that the banks control successive governments, whether they be liberal or conservative. The people are angry at their civil unrest in Greece. And you pick up the story, Bob.
Well, angry isn't the word for it. They've had 21 days of demonstrations in Athens of over 150,000 people. And they had one Sunday, they had 2 million people. And that was a week ago, last Sunday. And the Greek people are not going to put up with it. I think that the European Central Bank, the EU, the IMF, and the banks are going to have to give them a good deal. That would be an extended time to pay, an interest rate that is very reasonable, like 4 or 5%, and to give up on their collateralization of the loans that they're going to make. They want Greece to give up all of the things that belong to the Greek government and the Greek people, you know, for 5 or 10 or 15 cents on the dollar. And that's not going to happen. So I think that thing's going to blow up in their face. The tables have been turned. The Greeks say, no, we've gone as far as we're going to. And I think you're going to see that in Ireland and Portugal and other countries. And that will bring the banking system down in Europe. And I don't think most people realize it yet. And if that happens, it'll happen worldwide to the bankers. And I think the United States, it could happen there as well. People are very disturbed, and you never know what's going to push them over the edge.
Well, of course, the bankers pretty well control the federal government. They're not going to give up easily. I mean, they've got the major source of funding for our congressmen, for certainly our senators. The largest contributors to Barack Obama came from bankers and George Soros. So, I mean, the bankers really dominate our government, as they always have. You go back and read the things that Andrew Jackson said in 1837, and certainly in his goodbye address, his farewell address to the country. Read what he said then and see what's happening now. And nothing has changed. This small little clique, of course, behind them are the powerful spiritual forces which energizes this banking movement. But Basically, they're doing what they always have. We have a book written in 1899 by Mr. Walther, and he was basically talking about when the banks control our government. Sidney Reed Woodrow Wilson, his book, The New Freedom, and he talked about, you know, since I entered politics, why the men come to talk to me, usually in private, and they're afraid of someone, they're afraid of something. They know there's a force out there. It is so watchful. So organized, so subtle, so interconnected, so pervasive, so complete, that they'd best not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. And you read on, he's talking about the banking system that created the credit that controlled the economy. And he wrote this, well, these were the speeches he gave in 1912. He wrote the book in 1913. The first edition, and republished in 1916, that the FDR talked about that. We have the letter he wrote to Colonel House in 1933, saying, as you and I both know, certainly interest in the major financial centers that have controlled the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. Now, of course, Andrew Jackson came to power in 1833, and Roosevelt is writing in 1933. We have the letter. I found it among Colonel House's papers. No question this is what's going on. I think people are beginning to learn, though, don't you, Bob?
They certainly are. In those days, over that last 170 years, we've attained not only radio and television, but now we have talk radio and we have the Internet. And people are learning all over the world. There's millions of people listening to this broadcast and others everywhere. And the knowledge of what the truth is, which has been spoken by others over that period of time, is now being leaked out to the masses. And the bankers are not going to get away with it this time. They're going to lose. And because of what I just said, because the public everywhere is aware. And, you know, all you need is one or two countries to revolt against the system, and they all will. And once that happens, these people can be brought to justice. And we can create a different kind of system.
And these people should be tried for treason. They are subversive. They are a subversive element. And their loyalty is not to America. Their loyalty is this international school, because they're all working in that direction. This is what energizes them, because I believe they believe and are empowered by a different God. That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They knew exactly what they were doing. And it was their agents, certainly working in concert with the Masons, who controlled the Supreme Court at the time. They removed God and prayer. And behind everything that's going on, powerful spiritual voices. Well, Bob, let's get into what's really happening in America. Because certainly it looks to me, contrary to everything we're being told, that the American economy continues contracting. We're not simply going to worry about a double-dip inflation. We've never really come out of the recession, have we?
No, we haven't. And it's an inflationary depression, and it began 2 years ago, February, so that's about 27 months. And I see them speaking up, saying that if you'll have a QE3 equivalent, then we can fix everything up. And they know, and we know, that that isn't going to work. And what's going to happen is they will do a QE3. And inflation won't be 10.5% like it is now, or 14% by the end of the year, or 25 to 30% next year because of QE2 and Stimulus 2, but the following year, via QE3, we could be up to 50% in hyperinflation.
But what does that
do? So that's where this thing is headed.
But what does that do to the value of people's life savings? What does that do?
Wipes them out.
And that's what
they won't listen.
Right. Well, they're going to, if they hear our programs, hopefully at least they're making their plans. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Inflation is the silent tax. It's the cruelest tax of all because people don't understand it, but it destroys the value of their savings. But it gets the government out from under at least part of its debt. They pay back their debt with worthless dollars. They pay your Social Security. They're not going to catch your Social Security. It just won't buy much of anything. Now, are you still of the opinion that this is all a prelude to war?
Oh, absolutely. And I base that on the history of the last 1,000 years of this same crew and others doing the same thing over and over again, trying to institute total control over the people and subjugation. It's called world government, and that's what they're after here. They're insanely after it to a fault. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. I wrote an article for the American Mercury in 1967. I described exactly what they were up to. And I didn't have the kind of facts then that I have now. And what they've done is they have pursued that plan, and we're at a juncture. What's that?
Go right ahead.
We're at a juncture now where they can't turn back. They have to go forward. And we know because of what they've said that they're very, very concerned that if they don't get going quickly, then their plans are not going to work. And they know who we are, and they know that we're hounding them, breathing down their necks.
And because they've tried to bribe an awful lot of people. They tried to bribe Jesse Ventura, giving him a program on, I think it was MSNBC, one of the big national TV hookups. He wouldn't be bribed. They tried to bribe Alex Jones. They've tried to bribe Daniel Estulin. It's written extensively about the Bilderbergers. His last book, he told them, I described when they gave him a check. He said, well, how much is the check for? They said, just you fill it in. How much do you want? Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, Bob, I think it's important that we certainly try to get people to understand what is really going on here in the United States. Now, certainly we're told the economy is doing well. I don't think the economy is doing well at all. The housing market continues contracting. We do not have any new jobs. How can you have a recovery with no new jobs and with falling housing prices?
Well, you can't. And they know that, and we know that. And in fact, the unemployment situation is getting worse, much worse. And we're already back up to 22.4% of real unemployment, and that's going to continue to go up during the remainder of the year. Where will it get to? I really don't know, but I think probably 23 or 24 or 25% is reasonable. But it's the next 2 years after that that it's going to continue. And so, again, how can they have a recovery? And I think you'll also see that there will be an increasing value in gold and silver. And I think during that time frame that you're going to see that the situation that they've created is going to continue to deteriorate. And I think they're going to go for a meeting where all the currencies are revalued and devalued, and there's multilateral default, and they'll have a new world reserve currency, or they'll have the dollar again after everything's been cleared up. And the next place after that will be probably a a gold-backed dollar, so they'll be back where they started. But it's not going to be that easy for them, because either one of two things are going to happen. Either Congress in the United States is going to respond, or quite frankly, there'll be a revolution. And you're not far from it now. And I've spoken to many people in the military, and they agree with me. They know everything that's going on. They're not dumb. And so the next step is that sort of thing if they don't respond.
Well, because I don't think that they are going to respond. This is the problem. I think that the elite have an agenda. They have a goal. And I think that they think that they'll be able to continue controlling the military. I think that they have their agents in every military unit. I suspect that every high-ranking military officer has somebody who's watching him. We have a system of informants all across the country. It's called InfraGuard. That's simply the FBI's informants. The CIA has their informants, and NSA has their informants, and the DARPA has their informants, but I think they have their military intelligence as their people planted. But I just wonder, of course, if all those planted military intelligence agents are on their side or our side. I wish I knew, but we're just going to have to wait and see how this thing plays out.
Well, we don't know.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, our guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we're talking about what's going on in America. You're seeing an increasing level of violence and uncertainty in our country. So reminiscent of what James Madison wrote when he talked about democracies are spectacles of turbulence and contention. They're incompatible with individuals' liberty and private property, individual security and private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. And that was his description of a democracy. That's why they didn't want a democracy. You know how, notice how suddenly there's instability in our nation today. The tempo of violence is picking up. They're releasing prisoners from the prisons. What are these prisoners going to do, these criminals, when they get loose? Why are they going to go back to a life of crime? Even if they didn't want to, there are no jobs out there for them. And I think that we're just laying the foundation for increasing turbulence and contention. Democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention. So wrote James Madison in the 10th of Federalist Papers, which are never taught in our universities today, because they keep trying to convince us America's a democracy, and it's not. Nowhere in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, is the word democracy used, or in any of the 50 state constitutions, other than to decry the concept that America was a democracy. They always repeat America's a republic. And if that's true, then why does our Congress, why does President Obama, why does the media, why do the educational facilities keep insisting we're a democracy? Because they know this, it will self-destruct. It's unstable. It always has throughout history. And the fact that this is never taught in schools simply reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. Bob, you start talking here. I've got to get on a roll here. And the people tune in on Monday because they want to hear you. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. You pick up and run with the ball.
Well, all these things you would say are very true. And I think that half the population is capable of understanding, once explained, what can happen and is in the process of happening. So I think we're going to get more of a response than we're planning on or we think we can get. And there'll be some event. And it'll have to come at just the right time under the right circumstances. And all of a sudden, everybody will start saying, gee, the emperor has no clothes. And it'll take off. Everybody will realize that these people are what they are and make the changes necessary. And we're the agents who are going to have to continue to expose these people and the truth of what's been going on and the plans that these people have. And I think once people understand, especially if they don't have anything to eat, they've lost their jobs, their homes, their vehicles, and they're living in circumstances which are terrible, I think they'll be pretty open to doing most anything. And that's what I think will happen, and it'll move forward from there.
Well, Bob, what about the manipulation of the gold and silver markets? It's very obvious that they are manipulating gold and silver. I mean, it's illegal, but that doesn't matter. These people are above the law. They control the Commodity Trading Board and the SEC. All the government agencies supposed to prevent manipulation are simply allowing it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What's happening with gold and silver? Why would, of course, Sydney, all these big banks be selling silver short that they don't own?
Well, because they don't want it to go up. They don't want gold to go up because they are the antithesis of what these people are trying to accomplish, and that is hide the real facts from people so that they won't get into the only real investment, the only real money the world has ever seen or been able to function with. And so that's why they have these manipulations. And in the end, it'll prove futile. And the situation will go forward the way it should.
Well, certainly down in Mexico, they're trying to talk about actually backing their peso with silver. They have large silver deposits there. And because gold and silver have traditionally been the money of the world. And they're trying to keep the price down because they want you to use their paper money. Done a good job of knocking down at least silver. Gold hasn't gone down that far, but they've certainly been playing games with silver, haven't they?
Well, they have, especially of late. This will be the fourth time that it's gone to a zone to the downside to test a formal bottom. And if this one holds, they may as well give it up. And one of the interesting things during the last month or so is that those banks that have been short in the past didn't take the opportunity to cover their shorts. They increased it by 10 million ounces. So it's the same brazen arrogance that we've seen over and over again. You know, do what you want, but we're going to do what we want as well, and we're going to take the system down. And that's what they think. And I don't think they're going to be successful.
Well, I certainly hope not. On the other hand, I think that they're eventually going to wreck our economic system. I just hope that the American people could survive, and then we can start in with a solid gold-backed or gold and silver. I don't care how they back the monetary system, but it has to have an anchor so that the wicked people who control the banks can't simply print all the money they want to and enrich themselves and, of course, enslave the people.
Well, I think the information revolution that's happening right now could certainly aid that in happening. And I think that's the way it's going to turn out. They're not going to win. You know, how many are there of them? The core is probably made up of 5,000-10,000 people. And then they have all their agents and the people they paid off. And that goes even for law enforcement and the military, as you referred to. And they're all going down in flames. It just is not going to happen this time.
All right, fine. Will you hang on there? We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We've got Ed on the line. Aptos will be with him in just a moment. But before we get to Ed, if you're out there listening audience, you have a question or comment, give us a call. But before we get to Ed and Aptos, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster, how they can get a free copy, and why should they, subscribe to the International Forecaster?
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesday and Saturday by email. It runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And everything you need to know each week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. Theinternationalforecaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like a question answered, and we answer everyone, you can email us. You can also get a copy of either publication and a copy of our latest recommendations of gold and silver shares. That address is Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. Bob at intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188, and you can get a free copy of either.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Ed, who's calling from Aptos. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Ed. How are we doing?
Just a question. I'll take the answer off the air. A lot of those coins are they're minted, and it says 20 U.S. dollars gold. FDR made gold illegal during the Depression. If he did it then, why can't they do it now? If it's stamped $20 U.S. gold, to me to invest $1,600 or whatever in gold right now, it's just, I'm indecisive. I can't make up my mind. It just seems crazy. Because on a scope of a parent executive order, can't they make it illegal again? Thank you.
Bob, a very, very legitimate question, and in other words, should I invest in gold? They made it illegal before. Why couldn't they make it illegal again? Go ahead, Bob.
Well, certainly they can. And they can make anything else they want illegal, including your existence on the face of the earth, or they can take away your house, your job, your vehicles, your children. They can ship you to Dallas, Texas, and your wife to New York and give you jobs there and put your children in school in Idaho. They can do what they want. And that's why governments get overthrown. You don't have any choice as to where to go. There's only one place that you can hide your wealth, and that's in gold and silver-related assets. And if somebody else has a better idea, please let me know.
I think it's very interesting. Apparently over in Libya today, because there's all the unrest and the civil war going on, and the gold dealers are just doing great. People are coming in and they're putting all their money they have into gold, and or trying to ship it out of the country. Why? Because they know that when things get unstable, why there is one haven you always go to, and that is either gold or silver. So in Libya today, where the gold dealers are doing fine, because you're not hearing so much of what's really going on. Remember, the media is controlled. They're not telling about the daily riots over in Greece. No, they're telling us what's going on in Libya. They're telling us what's going on in Yemen. They're telling us what's going on in Syria. But they're not telling you about the daily major riots in Greece, that Greece is on the edge of a civil war. They're not telling you they've raised the retirement age from 50 to 70. I mean, they talk about, you know, incremental raising it. I wonder where it'll go next. That they've actually dramatically, you know, increased taxes. That they certainly are just really just crushing the economy, but they're doing everything they can to try to just do away with the excess inflationary measures that we're working there. But how would you like to be, you know, preparing to retire at 50 and suddenly find you're going to have to work an extra 20 years? But the average individual doesn't understand what's really going on in Greece. They don't understand what's really going on in Libya, where people are frantically buying gold, as they always do when they see the demise of the structure of their society. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have a question for Bob. And so the people just ask, well, I mean, how do we know what the government's going to do? And we don't know. That's why you want to be diversified. That's why you want to be in gold and silver and platinum and gold stocks and silver stocks. You never put all your eggs in one basket, because you find some of the Bigfoot will come along and step on the basket. You want to have a lot of baskets. Would that be good advice, Bob?
I think so. I think that you have to go back over and over again to what's happened historically. And gold and silver have been the metals that people have flocked to over the ages. And so I would say they're the two primary ones for those who have good positions in them already. They can consider other avenues to pursue. And no matter what government does, I mean, we saw a good example of it today. They attacked all of the commodities and gold and silver, and they tried desperately to keep the stock market up. It had come out close to even today, and that was a victory for them. And, you know, we're looking at the 10-year note is yielding 2.98%, which is ludicrous. And we can now get 30-year fixed mortgages at 4.59% or less. And they're doing everything they can to keep the economy going. It's not working. Their recovery hasn't worked. Nothing they're doing is working. Do they want it to work? We really don't know. But we do know that they say they're trying, and that effort is not being rewarded. And so you're going to see more of the same until one morning you wake up and some event happens somewhere, and all of a sudden the markets start falling, the bond markets start falling, and gold, silver, and commodities start screaming to the upside. And it's going to happen. They cannot control the markets. They're too big for them. They'll get in to manipulate them for 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 days, sometimes a week, and that's it.
Well, I think really what's different this time is that other people in other countries are buying gold and silver. Certainly, well, there's never been a Sydney when it was just this, mainly just an American market. It really didn't matter. But there are people certainly in Europe buying gold. There's certainly lots of people in India buying gold, and they got a lot more money than they've ever had before. The same thing is true in China. And governments are buying gold. China's buying gold. Russia's buying gold. I understand that India, you know, the government itself is buying gold. So basically these countries are buying gold. Why? Because they want to have stability for their currencies. And the question is, do we really have any gold, or the gold that we have has already been leased out or in some way or other has been adulterated? What are your thoughts, Bob? Do we really know, is there really real gold in Fort Knox, or is it is the gold in Fort Knox simply, titanium coated bars?
Well, there's no way of telling because we can't easily get in on the inside. Congress refuses to act, and probably will continue to do so because most of them are paid off. That's the kind of government we have today. And there hasn't been an audit since 1954. We know that they've sold gold. We know they have no silver and haven't had any for 15 years or so. And this business of talking about whether they have it or they don't, I don't think they have. And if they have, they have a very, very small amount of gold, and it's probably in melt form. And melt form is the result of printing of melting down the gold that was taken from people in 1933, and so I think they're going to have a hard time convincing people that there is in fact gold there. And so in time, we'll find out.
Well, because remember, so many of the things have actually been sealed. Everything is secret. That means we can't find out what happened to Heinrich Himmler for 100 years. Why would they seal the records on Heinrich Himmler for 100 years? I mean, he's been dead since 1945, and well, they tell us he was dead, but were they telling us the truth? Did they tell us the truth about Pat Tillman? Did they tell us the truth about the Gulf of Tonkin incident? Did they tell us the truth about President Kennedy? I mean, we have people in government whose job it is to lie, and if you work for the government, you will lie, and you will never tell the truth, or they'll put you in prison, or worse. And if you don't think that they actually kill people in our society who actually have told the truth, you have no idea. You've never said the Kennedy assassination. They killed over 100 people who knew what really happened that day in 1973, in November of 63, when the CIA killed President Kennedy. How do I know? Because my good friend Daniel Marvin went to assassin school shortly after that. He's trained in special forces with assassination, and the CIA openly admitted they had killed President Kennedy because he was working in concert with the KGB against the best interests of the United States. Now, they probably believe that. I don't believe it at all, but they believed it. That's how they justified killing an American president. And if they could kill an American president, do you think they'd hesitate with an individual? I even tracked down the fellow, and interviewed the fellow who tracked down the fellow who was hired to kill General Patton. Why? Because they couldn't let him come home and tell the American people he was ready to end the war 6 months before it ended, and they cut off his gasoline supplies so he couldn't take his armored division and go across Germany. We couldn't let the American people know they intentionally prolonged the war and the suffering. And of course, that's another story. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as we look and see what's happening right now, of course, silver's down around $32 an ounce. That's a big drop from up there. It was almost to $50. What do you think is going to happen in the next couple of weeks? Will it take months, or will it ever get back to $50 silver?
Well, we'll get back there, all right. The question is how long? And this completion of this testing of the support level again, if it's successful, and I think it will be, then I expect that we'll get another run at $50 here. And so I think that's what's going to happen very shortly. People look for corrections in the summer. We've already had them. It's as simple as that. And we are going to start building a foundation. It may not take long because testing four times is, from a technical point of view, is certainly sufficient. And so I think people are going to be rewarded for being in gold and silver for a long time to come. And you don't look at the short-term swings. You look at the long-term investment perspective of what you have. You want to keep what you have together. And this is the only way that I know you can do it. And Stan and I have been doing this for over 50 years, and I think we know what we're talking about.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, but we've seen this big drop in the price of oil. Do you think this is going to continue? Do you think that this is going to be very temporary and the price of oil go back up again? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it'll go up again. You know, one day it's up $3, the next day it's down. And this is a trading market. You get a lot of big players in there with big money. They could make it 120 in a heartbeat. And they could also make it 85 in a heartbeat. So, you know, this is not what the average person is involved in. But what I think is a consideration is that you've got to be in the game to win. And if you're not in, you're not going to win. You're not going to be able to protect yourself. And I think the story is as simple as that.
Well, Chris, the thing is, you're not suggesting that people don't get into the commodities, the options, or the other places where they're gambling their life savings, are you?
Absolutely not, because I know as a former professional trader 25 years that they can't win. I mean, you're playing against professionals. You're going to lose. And it's as simple as that. And why take on that added burden to perhaps make some unusual, perhaps one-time, special gains? And it's not worth it. You go long and you stay long. You keep life simple. And there's nothing cosmic about that at all. People have done it for centuries. And so you pick the direction that things are going in, and you go that way. And that's it. You don't have to think any further.
And of course, Bob says that there's just we are in a major bull market in gold and silver. And Sydney, go long, stay long, and just hold your position. Doesn't matter if it goes up or down. Why the overall movement is upward. And Sydney, he advocates gold and silver stocks so far. Over the last, 4 or 5 years, we've been talking, maybe longer than that. Why he's been absolutely right. It's where you should be. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You'll certainly enjoy the forecast.
They say the Green Lantern is the only
subscribe.
Powerful force in the universe. I'd say, how does it feel to be wrong? Clearly, you haven't seen
well,
the new
Bobby,
LTE
got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
For Verizon's 4G LTE.
Well, we're living in very dangerous times. Most people, probably 95% of the public, don't understand the terrible dilemma that we're in. And I'm hoping that people will and take action. We see new people entering the fray each and every day throughout the world. But you got to think, and you have to think outside of the box, and that is very, very important. And this is not the normal thinking. The conclusions of which come from watching your television programs. It's not like that, because they're not going to tell you what's going on, because those networks and all of the major media are owned by the same people who have brought this calamity upon us. And if you can understand that and prepare for what's coming in the future, you should have a chance of coming out the other side of this thing in decent shape, so to speak, And in that process as well, try to make sure that you have the food necessary and other things to survive. You're not going to survive otherwise. There's going to be millions of people throughout the world who cannot survive because they don't know what we're talking about. They've either never heard us and don't believe us. And so that's what is being dealt with. And it's not going to change quickly for the better. It's going to change moderately in a time frame for the worse. And it has for a long, long time. And Stan and I have been talking about it for years. It's here. It's now. And we only hope that you grasp what the seriousness of the situation is. And that is going to hopefully bring you into action to do something to defend yourself.
And the tragedy is that most people are not going to take any action. They'll be frightened to do it, and as a result, they'll do nothing. And this is the time when you have to be involved, but you have to be involved in a defensive position, not trying to make a fortune, not trying to make any money at all, but trying to preserve what you have. God bless you, Bob. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks so very much, and thank you for being always available here.
Well, thank you, and thank you, all of you, for listening. And we'll see you again next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, I hope you enjoy our programs with Bob Chapman. Make your plans accordingly. We got some great books on this subject. We have the book by Thomas Wood on Meltdown. We have his book on Rollback. He's with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. That's Meltdown and Rollback, and they'll really give you a view of what's going on and what needs to be done from a conservative economic point of view. We have Mr. Walther's book. It was written in 1899, The Coming Battle, talking about when the banks will control the world. We have, of course, my three little pamphlets based upon my newsletters. One of them is the Prophetic Warning. It's a 50-page analysis with my comments, of course, and the complete text of the financial part of Andrew Jackson's 1837 Farewell Address. The pamphlet, The History of Money, and you'd need to have these, and then a one on Financial Armageddon. These are newsletters that give you an excellent background of what happened. This whole current financial collapse is all engineered, but they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to understand what's really going on. We have copies of Jerome Corsi's book, America for Sale, going into the NAFTA program. And with NAFTA, all of these programs are aimed at simply transferring America's jobs overseas. They keep telling you the jobs are coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, the jobs aren't coming back. We've sent over 7 million, close to 8 million of our jobs overseas, and they're not coming home. And we don't want them to come home because, of course, our leaders are intent upon transferring America's wealth to other nations to build up the economy there, to lower it here. You need, of course, to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the secret, my talk on the forbidden secret, my talk on the dark secret, and their syllabuses go with the last two talks. You have to understand the spiritual component behind what is going on. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense. You need to get our Sustainable Development Syllabus because it has the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It has the Earth Charter. It has the information on the Georgia Guidestones, all in this one syllabus. And, of course, with that, you'd be best to get my talk on Sustainable Development, the Road to World Government. You need to understand that there is a master plan that's being followed. We also carry copies of Agenda 21. It was published by the United Nations. It is the agenda, their agenda for the 21st century. You need to read it. You wonder why they're so intent upon of getting electric cars and certainly because they want to get you out of gasoline-driven cars. You have to understand that they want to get you out of your car, and electric cars down the road, at least as far as I can see, are going to limit the distance you can go and without recharging. And so they're going to get you into an electric car, but no place to charge the car up when you get there so you can get back home again. Understand that you want to limit your use of electricity. That's why you need to get the book on smart meters and the 4-tape set on smart meters. You need to get the book on ClimateGate by Brian Sussman. What is ClimateGate? It goes into the whole idea of smart meters, the smart grid, the smart appliances, the fact that there is no global warming, it's all a fraud. Oh, yes, I should say, officially there is no global warming. There was global warming up until about 10 years ago. We've had global cooling since then. We were having a little global warming, maybe a degree over a century, a couple of centuries. But as in the mankind did not produce that global warming. It was produced, of course, by other causes. But what you must understand is they're using the climate and to justify expanding control over your life. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mike Brunel, and we're going to be talking about Morgellons disease. Now, certainly, I think this is a fascinating subject. I need to learn more about it. You do as well. Certainly, Mike is working with the Morgellon Foundation, and there are already people out there who are studying this, trying to get the information out. What is Morgellons disease? Is it contagious? What causes it? Are you in danger? What can be done for the people who are affected with this disease? And so, without further ado, hi, Mike, how are you doing?
Hi, Stan.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the study of Morgellons disease?
Okay. Well, I'm Mike Brunel, and I'm actually, we are definitely not the foundation. We are the Morgellons Research Group, We're a group of researchers. Most of us made our way there from the Carnicom Institute, working with Clifford. We have quite a few of the founding members of the Institute. And with me, it's been a long, long, drawn-out episode. of a self-confirmation of discovering, by accident really, the fibers, which we call Morgellons. There's many varieties, and I instantly needed somebody to consult and talk to and learn about what I was seeing with my own eyes. With it started with just basically a toy pocket microscope that you can get any Radio Shack for $15, and then I graduated to the microscopes that might go to my 1,000 micro power. And I basically started, I was upset at the endless array of chemtrailing that has been going on, and I think most of us have been witness to that. And I had bad bronchitis and this and that, and when I, out of nowhere, discovered the biological ingredient of the chemtrail program, the aerosol program, I sought out the Carnicom Institute. Doctors really won't recognize the Morgellons or anything to do with it. Now, I am not a lesion sufferer. I'm totally healthy, always was through all of this, except for my terrible lung bronchitis that I got rid of long ago. But I tried to get a hold of the Carnicom Institute and finally got a phone call from researcher Larry Meyer, who is a member of our group now, and he just educated me. The medical establishment is still basically telling these poor people it's a form of delusional parasitosis, so anyway, I just traveled through the work of Clifford Carnicom and learned about this incredible nanotechnology and what exactly really is happening.
Well, now for our listeners out there who don't know Clifford has just been working on the chemtrails, contrails, call them what you will. He's been working on this for a long time. And then, of course, he's gotten interested in this whole idea that they're putting fibers up in the sky. They actually want these fibers, as I believe, part of a geoengineering program to reflect the sun's rays. But they can't tell the common people what's going on. You'll be fascinated by what you're going to learn tonight about Morgellons disease and where it came from.
Yeah.
Go right ahead, Mike.
Okay. I'll try not to. Not that I'm not a scientist. I'm a self-taught. I call myself an expert on my family and household, and I assist our researchers. I do a lot of my theoretical research amongst my. I don't know what you call me, but I definitely know what's going on, and I've been around the PhDs and Clifford and. And the immediate Morgellons research group is, there's been people working on this thing for 20 years, where most people aren't even aware that the program existed that long. But, the definition of Morgellons is really, it's hard to pin down. It's what we know is that we all have it. And I'm kind of like the, walking billboard because I'm healthy. And most people, me included, some years back, it was all those poor Morgellon sufferers going through these skin lesions, and lo and behold, we've all been pretty much mutated. I don't mean to sound scary. It's the human race. We've proven this. All these things I will be mentioning are backed up with our own laboratory confirmation, and it's pretty much, you really can't deny this situation. But the purpose is basically they are redesigning the human genome. That's why I say human mutation. These things work with the frequency of, I guess we could say, the HARP, which, for people that don't know, it's a high-frequency active aurora research project, and they are sending just simple electromagnetic waves, and extremely low frequency is usually the manipulative type, and these fibers react to that, and It's a whole. There's so many things involved with this this happening. We have deciphered. It's basically a gene modified fungal biological, and it's in our blood. It's pretty much is throughout the human body. We don't know it. The people that do suffer these terrible outbreaks, there's many things that correlate with bad immunity. Some people possibly are just exposed to a unique version. It works with your
Hold that thought, Mike. We'll be back here in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Mike Brunell, and we're talking about Morgellons disease. What is it? Well, of course, Mike believes we all have it, and so these ideas come from the people who believe in chemtrails or contrails, or call them what you will. So, basically, what is these chemtrails? What is in the chemtrails? Why are they there? What is the purpose behind them? What does this have to do with nanotechnology and the fibers and Morgellons disease? So pick the story up there, because, Mike, we need to have this very simple so people can understand. Is there a covert government program of geoengineering to re-engineer the atmosphere?
Yes, there most definitely is. Most people, all you need to do is just watch the sky. Many people have chosen to maintain their current reality, whatever that might be, and not really show concern. There's an apathetic reaction.
They should be watching the toxic sky. The toxic sky. And you can actually notice we very seldom have a day with a tense blue sky anymore.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of haze there now. It never used to be like this when I was growing up. So something has happened to the atmosphere. Would that be a fair statement, do you think?
That is very fair.
All right, then, what is happening to the atmosphere, and why is it happening?
Well, as far as you mentioned ingredients, Stan, and these have all been confirmed in many laboratory analysis, and from all the work of all the fine people that have been at this longer than me, and it's just an overall potion of elements, and you know, like aluminum, barium, cadmium, chromium, manganese, even arsenic has been found. The barium, they tell me, works as a conduit. The aluminum, you know, they all work together. You know, since I'm not a scientist, I really can't explain this properly, but I try to talk to everybody on more of a, you know, a layman level.
Well, we'll find out, is this being used to actually try to reflect the sun's rays to cut down, supposedly, on global warming, or maybe to increase global warming, because the greenhouse gas actually increases global warming. It doesn't detract from it. Or suddenly, is this somehow responsible for the so-called climate change we're seeing? What are they doing, and how are they getting the aluminum into the stratosphere and the atmosphere?
Well, they are actually even shooting rockets in the above the chemtrails, the stratosphere. And actually, it's the Navy that supposedly, we are told, they weaponized this whole system. Obviously, we know how that usually works with militaries. Like Carnicom broke it down to seven different military operations, which all tie in. It would be the biological operations, which I briefly addressed. I know it's kind of confusing trying to figure out what Morgellons is, but hopefully when I'm done, we'll have a little better understanding, and I'll try to stay as simplistic as possible. But you have this biological entity. Now, the military, with HARP and with the sediments floating in our atmosphere, they use an advanced radar system. They have called it, and this is all documented in military papers, archive, and whatnot.
And are these available? How can people get these?
Well, there's there's many websites. I can list a lot of websites here before I'm done that you can research. We have from the radar, then you have HARP, which...
Remember, the HARP really is simply a vehicle by putting a very intense heat into the ionosphere and in the upper stratosphere. So
yeah. It
is a means of sending electromagnetic waves up to heat the ionosphere and heat the stratosphere. Go ahead, and because that can be used to redirect the weather, can actually be used to redirect the jet streams and alter the weather. But what does that have to do with Bjornstam's disease?
Well, what this is, as far as the chemtrails, there's a multifaceted operation where you have the Air Force doing their part, you have the Navy doing their part, and...
All right, but basically, what is their part? What are they doing?
As far as I know, and it's documentation, and one of the websites to really find out a lot about, especially the Navy... Is Rosalind Peterson's California Skywatch, and that's just CaliforniaSkywatch.com. And Rosalind has testified at the United Nations. And
all right, now, what does she say? What does Rosalind say on the website?
Oh gosh, she's done. She is trying to get the Navy in court for the vast array.
Well, what does she say? What is her claim?
Her claim is. Well, she calls them persistent contrails because you cannot
What is the Navy doing?
The Navy is actually shooting off rockets and testing ballistics, and they are actually in control of the 3D battle imagery, which I categorized under advanced radar.
All right, now basically you're suggesting they're putting up rockets that contains this aluminum and a barium.
I cannot confirm what the rocket ingredient would be in the stratosphere, but as far as the chemtrails, we have tested and got, you know, this potion from aluminum and barium on down the list. I want to mention, of course, the Air Force is operational, supposedly, in this equation is manipulating the weather. You can look at...
Okay, fine, but basically what you're suggesting is that the Navy is putting this material up in space. Are they putting it up by using naval planes? Is the CIA involved in putting this up? Is it just being put up in rockets? Do we know how this is being injected into space? Because basically this is what's known as geoengineering. It is a vehicle by which they hope to put a cap over our skies so that it will reflect the sun's rays. To alter the greenhouse effect. This is what geoengineering is all about. So basically, do we know how they're getting it up?
They're with rockets. They are shooting missiles or rockets, whatever we would call them. And this is the stratosphere now. This is way above. Now, as far as the reasons for these trails and what these ingredients stand, you know, the weather wars, and that is basically manipulation of the weather, and you can go to NASA satellites, and we call them like skid marks. You will see the trails and the divisions of the unnatural formations and where they're pushing what and where what is going where, and it's just not Mother Nature whatsoever. Also contained in this ingredient, we have the geophysical operations, I guess which we would call tectonic, which is earthquakes. And the proof is out that...
wait a minute. Let's not get way off the subject.
Oh, okay, because it's all chemtrails.
We want to get into the fact that they're putting material into the atmosphere, and that material in the atmosphere, and because it's aluminum, barium, and the various other things. Some people say strontium, some people say titanium, but the various substances they put up. Now, does this then precipitate out?
Precipitate out, I would surely think so.
All right, fact, so it comes down, and what form does it come down in? Does it come down in just simply microparticulate form? Does it come down in nano form? Does it come down in strands? Does it come down sometimes in gelatinous form?
I think I think from nano on, because of course we will not see nano. Nano is very, very, very small. most people make the mistake of calling the Morgellon fibers like nano. But nano, as you know, Stan, is oh gosh, it's like the size of DNA.
All right,
it's a nanometer.
Okay, now is the aluminum going up in the form of nanotubules? What are the tubules made of, and how do you know that they're tubules?
The tubules. Well, are you referring to the filament structure of Morgellons, or?
Yes, I am.
This is from laboratory microscope analysis and testing. There's a filament structure.
But what is this the substance that is actually precipitating out of the sky?
Yes, I can confirm that personally. I can also refer, of course, to the fine work of Clifford Carnicom. He's written up many white papers on the subject. There's a vast spread-out network of people working on this.
Okay, fine. Now, basically, then, is the aluminum being dispersed in these tubular forms? Is it a nanoparticle? How is the aluminum, and what form is it being dispersed?
Now, the aluminum, as far as my knowledge, it would basically be not affiliated with the biological ingredient, as far as I know.
All right, fine. So what you're saying is then there are several different elements that are being put up, is that right?
Yes. And,
all right, so then we've already in other programs talked about the aluminum. What about this biological part, and does the biological part have something to do with this fungus you were talking about?
Yeah, it's all tied in. We're focusing on the atmosphere, which is the major delivery. But we have found that GMO foods, definitely what we would call junk food, and we have found them on clothing now.
What have you found?
We have found Morgellons fibers.
So what is in a Morgellons fiber?
Well, it's what is in them. I think you had the five base elements of Morgellons that we kind of came up with. It's a filament, fiber, or strand. It's got Fusarium relation, which is a fungal soil organism. They have gene modified these things. I guess if I could say Frankenstein, that might make some sense to people. This is a
Hold that thought.
Okay.
This is Mike Brunel. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Mike.
Okay, yeah, it's a complex internal structure.
Are we talking about, is this some sort of a living thing? Is this a product of the fungus? What is it?
Well, they are communicable nanotechnology invasion, basically, of the human tissue. They are self-assembling, self-replicating, the tubes. They are not only tubes, you could say there's wires, there's sensors.
Are they some form of life? Are they some, what are they? Are they, what does this have to do with the fungus?
Well, they've crossed most people aren't familiar with the basic makeup of life, and I know you might know a lot more about this than me, Stan, but the three kingdoms of life, bacteria, and archaea, and then the eukarya, I guess you would say, which is the fungal. And these three basic groups make up life on Earth. And they never cross into one other. They're all three separate, and that makes up our whole makeup of life. And with this Morgellons artifact, they have crossed the life kingdoms and combined them. These organisms, the cell structures, like a fungal, they would have a membrane, structures within membranes, and that's why they are one part of the three kingdoms, we call them. And now bacteria has never existed with that on Earth, and now they have crossed over and combined those. They've engineered these fungal forms, and they've mutated them possibly with viruses. I know this is getting, it's hard to talk about this and not sound scientific. They carry various DNA and RNA strands. These things are replicating. They I call it a cloaking type device, because the human immunity is quite an efficient machine that we've had to protect our, keep us healthy. And these things cuddle right up with our actual immunity. And that has never been done in human life before. Thus, that is a big part of the mutation, as I call it. And this, you know, this biopiracy, basically. Now, you know, I can, as far as the claiming where they come from, we, you know, I added GMO foods and clothing now.
Well, wait a minute. Are these things being sprayed in the sky?
Yes, they are.
Are these is being sprayed along with, simultaneously at the same time, the same rockets that the aluminum particles are?
Now, the Navy, I just know it's been confirmed, and it has been announced, shall we say, that the Navy is shooting rockets. I'm not an expert on what's going on up there. I do know a little bit more about the airplanes that we do see, these they say, what, C-137s, these tanker sprayers. There's a vast array. I've been told that
Is this through Evergreen, or is this
CIA? There you go. It's that, which, for the listeners, was Air America from the Vietnam War.
This is basically Evergreen. This is CIA operation.
So
they're unmarked tankers. And, of course, they may just have a little mark on the tail, but they are not a regular commercial airliner, but they're of that vintage, and, of course, they are designed for disseminating sprays. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, we're talking about the geoengineering programs that are going on today. They're all top secret. We do know, of course, that they're doing this because, of course, the English have published papers about their geoengineering. Here in the United States, they deny it, but they have published some papers about how the Navy has actually put this canopy up in the sky along the East Coast to reflect the rays of the sun. Is that correct? Is that the basic interpretation you have, Michael?
I think that is the geoengineering definition. I worry, knowing everything that I know and have personally witnessed, that is going to potentially be a disinformation aspect of this program to once again deceive people and keep the honesty from them. It's real easy to say that they're protecting us from solar heating, when most experts and scientists that I have talked to are of the opinion that if these atmospheric aerosol, I try not to say chemtrails, but that's what we call them, are actually heating the atmosphere up themselves, way more than any man-made warming could do.
All right, that's basically the greenhouse effect. And, of course, what does a greenhouse do? It keeps things warm. How does it keep it warm? It lets the sun rays in, but it won't let them bounce off and go out. And so it keeps the heat in the greenhouse. So the greenhouse effect is to warm up the area here on Earth. You're being told, oh no, we're doing this to reflect the sun's light, sunlight, so we don't have global warming, where exactly the opposite is the case. But that would be, of course, the aluminum particles and the barium particles, which do precipitate out, and we've actually seen them, we've touched them with a gelatinous form. But what about this other substance, and what is its function? Is what you're describing as some sort of a living organism with DNA that creates tubules. What is the function of that?
It is, like I had mentioned, it's they're redesigning the human genome. A lot of it is frequency-induced, and they can induce disease, and I think we're pretty much witnessing that now. They can manipulate human behavior. They're creating an apathetic attitude, a non-questioning attitude. I think that if deciphering people can notice out there. It's a you know, synthetic. It's synthetic. It's there's an organic ingredient, the fusarium possibly, but then again, it's been mutated. Now, these things I'm talking about in this microscope, if anybody cared to be as curious as I was, you can purchase a pocket microscope from Radio Shack for $15, and you can study the from our website what these things look like. And
but
you can
basically, where would you get your products to study under the microscope?
Well, it's so simple, and that's why I'm on the radio, because people need to know about this. You really don't need to go anywhere. You can probably walk one step, and you can obtain a sample. They are everywhere and
right,
everything.
Then, Michael, how do you go about doing that?
Okay. With this pocket microscope that says goes to 100 micropower, which is really not a lot, but then, you know, it makes a hair look real big. You know, a hair would be, say, 60 microns big. I would say the Magellan's fibers, compared to a hair, which, say, is 60 to 100 micron, just so you'll know what we're talking about here, I'm guessing they might go from 5 to 20, 30. I've seen them at 40 or 50, almost as big as a human hair.
How do you recognize them?
Okay, well, you would first obviously have to see some pictures. We've probably got 1,000 pictures on our website.
How do you take a swab? You put this on a slide, and what do you do?
It's simpler than that. It is very simple. The easiest way that I suggest to people, before they examine themselves, say, is get some clear packing tape and some printing paper. And you can dab that tape, or you can stick a spider, just grab a spider web. I've never seen a spider web that did not contain fibers. I'm still looking. They float continuously in the atmosphere before they drop, and obviously spider webs grab them. You can dab your carpet. You can. My first shock when I was learning about all this from one of our researchers says, "Mike, go grab that tape and dab your pillowcase." And I dabbed my pillowcase, and it was probably had 30 or 40 fibers.
All right, fine. Then do you put these fibers on a slide, glass slide?
No, you just dab.
How do you get this under the microscope?
Well, this is like a pocket microscope that I'm talking about for starters here, the little thing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Mike Brunneal. Stand back here. Okay, Mike, go right ahead.
Okay, with this microscope and this tape, you can grab a spider web, or you can dab your carpet, you can dab the shirt you're wearing, and just stick it on this printing paper, and then you have an internal light on the microscope. Now, I get mine at Radio Shack, and I've pretty much become the Radio Shack salesman out there. Just zoom in and focus, and set the paper on a table and look around this tape and explore. And you will learn what a human hair looks like. You will learn the things that you see in the environment, and you will learn what a Magellan's fiber is. And I pretty much guarantee you will find it your first go around.
All right, fine. How do you separate a Magellan fiber from a hair?
Well, I would say,
or from a hair, from a little piece of lint, something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
The first thing is learn to recognize before you even go to look yourself. Is study any website that has the pictures. Like I'm saying, our Magellan's research group, we've probably got 1,000 pictures, I think, on our website, and you can get a good idea of what these things appear like. Some are flat, some are round, some are colored, some are darker. I've seen purple ones. There's blue ones. There's red ones. Dark colored ones. And you'll identify them quickly and easy because these things are there, they stand out, and they are radically obvious. After that, if you so choose, you can graduate to dabbing, say, your arm or your face. And you will produce fibers that are from the environment that are on your skin. Now, I have been testing a lot of my personal hair. I've sent some to laboratories, and, of course, the Jones Research Group has been doing a lot of hair studies, and I actually have photographs of crystalline structures that are growing and forming inside my hair. I'm not sure if I showed that to you, Stan, that when we were at the conference, I think you noticed that a couple of our tables nonstop were confirming people with these little microscopes.
All right, fine. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mike Pruneel. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mike Pruneel, and of course, we're talking about Magellan's disease, and he's talking about getting himself a small microscope down at Radio Shack and checking out and see if you can actually learn to identify the fibers. Now, what is the characteristic of a fiber? How would you separate the fiber from a hair?
Well, a hair is going to be larger. A hair on that micron measuring stick, you would call it a 60 to 100 micron meters.
But how would you be able, is there other as characteristics other than just the size?
Well, they I have seen them move, especially curiously when they've been around a lot of Wi-Fi. I have seen them move, but usually they're just real dormant. They are just there, and if you can go back to them later, and you can see that they might have moved from the area they
were
in.
Fine. Now, basically, are they tubules? What are they? Are they solid or what?
They are probably both, Stan. They're spear shaped, nanosphere. They're every time of type of strand fiber. We are still identifying new types of we've cataloged, I think, 24 of these
but
artifacts.
How do you separate them from a piece of lint? How do you separate them from just
let's see. Well, with the little microscope, you would probably be able to decipher an internal structure. Another interesting facet is these things reflect. They have a luminescent aspect to them. Many researchers recommend a black light, which is a fascinating aspect. Real quick, I want to add, when I mentioned that everybody has this inside their blood and inside them, there's a reflection now we have off of our human eye, and you can ask or you can investigate. The human eye does not reflect in a black light like a cat does, like that solid red reflection. Well, now we do. There's a luminescent that is basically on our skin, on our eyes. It's all part of this crazy redesign of the human genome, and they've pretty much, without our permission, done this to us. For most opinions,
well,
are.
But Mike, I mean, you can have all these things. How do you get this introduced into the human genome? You have to shoot this in using some sort of a viral carrier. Somebody's got to actually force this into the human genome. These things are not going to just drift into the human genome. When, because they do genetic engineering, they actually fire these or shoot these genes into the genetic structure, and that's how they introduce a gene into a plant or into a human or to an animal. How are they getting these into the actual genome itself? You can't just lay it there and the genome's going to pick it up.
I would guess the preferred, say, entrance to the human is respiratory. Although it is in food, and it's pretty much like a neuronal network, basically, which, you know, it's everywhere, and everything on Earth now is affected by it. Every insect, we have flea traps to obtain samples, and everything has these things. Carnicom has confirmed our blood is basically not what blood used to look like. And I know that's an amazing thing to accept with our medical establishment hovering over us. And I've always wondered how these blood labs can control this without anybody responding to this new appearance of human blood. But we basically challenge anybody to prove they don't have it. I was doing it at that conference with a little microscope. You can look on your skin with this microscope that I'm speaking of, and you'll see a luminescent reflecting off your skin if you move it around enough. And the important aspect of that is you can look in there and you will see, I call this the slime mold or placerium part of this equation. And they are colonized, and they are in our skin, and we have confirmed just newborn babies are completely infected, and that shows that the internal body parts are also. One of our doctors has told me that the fetus can be used to remove toxins when someone is pregnant. I don't know how that adds up to this, but we have confirmed some newborn children that are also infected. I would say, Stan, mostly respiratory, but then again, many people now have tested drinking water, public drinking water, and they found the ingredients.
But that doesn't get it into the genome. That would infect us, but that wouldn't get it into the genome.
Yeah, as far as the scientific approach on that, we could have a researcher explain that, part to you as far as...
All right, you were going to give me a list of the researchers on this. Did you get that list together for me?
Yeah, we have. Well, we're all listed on the website.
I know, but you were going to get that to me so we could get hold of some of them.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that is good as done. Okay, I will send you...
And you have my email.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So you promised to get that to me.
We
would like to speak to these people. So basically, why are they doing this? That would be the question.
My simple answer is control.
But how are they going to control us with these tubular particles? And what does that have to do with the aluminum and the barium and these other things that are being utilized?
I don't think
for geoengineering, or is this two separate projects?
It is. There is a multifaceted motivation behind this. The weather manipulation would be the aluminum and barium, and working with HARP heating up portions of the atmosphere, which would have nothing to do with the biological. The geophysical operations.
Right, so basically, there's two separate operations.
Oh no, there's way more than that.
All right, but let's just talk about the two that we know about. We know that they are certainly they're using the aluminum and they're getting the barium because they found the rising levels of aluminum in the soil and the snowpack and the water and the bark of the trees and they know what the aluminum content was before finding it in the plants, and they know that it's rising and aluminum is extremely toxic. That is one program. But what is the function specifically? How could they possibly get these particles onto us or into us, and they could influence our behavior, our ability to think?
Well, that would be frequency. Humans are meant to exist on Earth, and the Earth is meant to exist with a certain frequency. It creates its own electromagnetic frequency. They are altering that. They are, I guess we could say they are playing God. It's easy to say that. I don't think that would surprise anybody about the history of the world and world leaders. But there's a frequency that we are meant to exist in. I want to add that our atmosphere is supposed to be oxygen for us, and it's basically a plasma weaponized. Plasma would basically mean electrified. They've weaponized the atmosphere for whatever means they so choose. But now, I know this is very complicated when we talk of the aluminum, barium, and that is for completely separate operations. The Navy's doing their part, the Air Force is doing their thing, And if it was supposedly the American, which we called DARPA, which, let's see, that's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. That's the diabolical, scary bioweapons labs. And some of you might have seen them in movies. They're pretty creepy when people were walking around with spacesuits inside a laboratory because of the terrible things that they're working with. When they got involved, supposedly, in this project, or whatever likely entity out there, if it's not called DARPA, I'm not really concerned about accusing every, institute or organization out there, a military branch, but they deal with the biological, and that would be their function in the chemtrails. That would be the biological ingredient. So it's multifaceted. I listed seven weapons aspects, you know, from biological, military, which is enhanced radar, you have HARP, you have weather wars, you have the geophysical, which would be earthquakes. They can cause earthquakes with HARP. Anybody can dive into and study that. They have advanced surveillance, which is the entire population, which would coincide with Morgellons. We've been labeled and tagged, shall we say. We've been marked. We have definitely been marked. And they can ID us.
How can they possibly ID you with these things? I mean, if everybody has them, how can they know one person from another?
Every human has a unique genetic makeup. And these artifacts that they are putting in the human body or have already and still are, whatever, put in the human body, they do have this incredible advanced nanotechnology to be able to send messages. These things are little computers. If anyone's heard of smart dust, you can Google it. And that's just an example to demonstrate how far this technology has gone. And we don't know this technology really exists because it is not spread around the mainstream. We just don't hear these things. Anybody that follows any history of the military would know they're always 20, 30 years ahead of anything that is announced. And I'd probably personally say 50, 60, 70 years ahead. They've been messing with things for years and then not announcing them. And, yes, the technology does exist. It's amazing to study what they do release, military archives, speeches.
Robert, what have you learned about what they say that they've accomplished? How can they utilize this to identify this? How can they utilize this in any way to control us, even if they were able to get this into our blood and into our tissues?
You really have to study the science of nanotechnology. Many of the forefront scientists in that field consider it the only really science of the future. They can build things, do things with these, you know, small, nano-sized. They're able to even label things on, you know, this is, we're talking, nano is so small, a nanometer is beyond small. We do not have the microscopes to see these things. We work on a micron level.
Wait a minute. I thought that you were actually seeing them. What are you seeing?
We are seeing the fibers and...
What do the fibers have to do with nanotechnology?
Well, they come from that. That is the genesis. That's where they come from. That's why we have not been able to crack the code, shall we say, and heal people and remove these things from our bodies. The laboratories are completely controlled. We have a hard time working with any professional. They're all pretty much controlled. It's really hard to even purchase a very high-powered, expensive microscope nowadays without being looked into. It's you know, we're up against a lot. We're working with what we have, and we've come a long ways with all of our findings of what we have found. We broke this thing down to all these different forms. We found these things, seen these things, and there is writing on them. But the nano level is, you know, most people that talk about Morgellons talk about nano size, and it's really incorrect. It's a micron size. But that's still, you can't see that with the human eye. If it's a smaller micron, you know, hair, you can see that. That's, like I said, like, can be up to 100 or so microns. So it's just learning about this little stuff and getting an understanding, and even reading what the government chooses to tell you about the wonderful science of nanotechnology and all the benefits.
But I still don't see the relationship between the nanotechnology and the tubules and what you're saying that they can do as far as tagging people.
Yeah. Well,
can you explain that to us?
Well, you'd probably need a PhD to do that properly. You know, I'm just going off of what I've seen and what I've witnessed, and as far as the scientific approach, you'd probably want to have some of our more advanced researchers explain that stuff.
Well, now, who are these researchers? What's their background? I mean, are these actual scientists? Are these people who studied it like you have? Are these people from universities? Who are these researchers?
It's kind of hard to... there's a lot of people affiliated in helping us. We've got a lot of self-taught researchers. This is not... There are PhDs that surface and work for a while. There's many people that you can study the history of the Carnicom Institute, and there's been other doctors. But it's really, really hard for a PhD level scientist. You just cannot get involved in this. It's not advisable for them to be able to continue their career and work with this because for obvious reasons. I compare us to the French Resistance, in World War II. We are a spread out group of people trying to basically inform everyone about what has happened to humanity and the human race. And I'm talking about this little microscope in my little world, but I can go out in my backyard basically any day and I can obtain a sample, take it in and look at it, and there they are, and they're coming out of the air.
Okay, fine, but there are all sorts of things coming out of the air. How do we know that this has anything to do? I mean, there's always been bacteria, there's always been filaments, there's always been all sorts of things, but there has to be something that identifies them, something specific other than the particles which have been coming down, and we have to know that they have some specific function. We're surrounded by bacteria. We're surrounded by funguses. We're surrounded by all sorts of living things, but our immune system ordinarily takes care of and protects us.
Well, I guess the polymer ingredient that would be would open eyes.
What is this polymer agreement then, the polymer part?
Well, it's one of the makeups of the filament and the fiber. There's polymer in it.
There's a polymer in it. Now, is this a tubular structure?
Well, it's just basically, when I hear polymer, I'm like most people, I'm thinking almost like
plastic. Right.
And the polymer ingredient in some of this testing, these things have proven to be pretty much indestructible.
All right, fine. Now, is this any sort of DNA? Is there any sort of biological element to it?
Well, they've crossed DNAs, and they've combined, like, it's got RNA and DNA. I mentioned polymer.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment with Mike Brunel from the Morgellon Research Institute. Well, Mike, we've got 3 minutes for you to sort of wrap this whole thing up for us.
Yes, Dan. It's very hard for people to understand. It's hard when we can't demonstrate. I suggest people please go to our website. It's the Morgellons Research Group.com, and you can email us. We can answer any question. You can study our website. We have links on there. We have videos. We have a videographer. We've probably got about 50 videos that you can watch. They're very scientific but very informing, and you'll learn endless things. Our links page, you can go to the Carnicom site. I'm still very fond of Clifford's research. Study it, read it, and believe it, because it's true. There's everything is on that website. You can reach us, and I can write you back personally. And I can also answer any of the get any of these questions answered by referring it to one of the other researchers. Just get to know what's going on out there in your environment, and try to lose the apathetic attitude or the not questioning what's going on. Just because you appear to be healthy right now, that your fellow human beings are being changed. We've been biopirated, and I just feel it's very, very important to expose this. Expose the deeds of darkness, pretty much, if anybody's ever read Romans.
Well, there's no question that we are involved in a spiritual battle. I just want to know how these filaments can be identified, what's in them, what the relationship is between nanotechnology, the fungus, how this would affect the average individual.
Well, it's disease-induced. And like I said, it's very important to realize the potential of the frequency manipulation, and these things react to frequency. We are exposed to frequency and the Gwyn Towers and everything that's all around here. And they have proven in the laboratory to react to this geomagnetic field that they are sending around. They're manipulating the Earth's regular frequency. So these ingredients, I mean, these things have been confirmed. When I say polymer, I mean, I'm saying that is in this replicating fiber and strand. This is like no life form that's ever been seen, or just they've crossed the life kingdom.
But is this a life span? Is this a life form?
Yes.
It is a life form. All right, that's the important thing. So it's a life form, a strange one. Well, we're going to have to do a lot more programs for me to get to understand this. Thank you, Mike. We're out of time. God bless. Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, the one thing I know is I learned tonight is I need to know a lot more about Jelen's disease. The one thing that Mike explained is this is a life form. Altered life form, but an altered life form that is very real. We'll talk more about this, and perhaps as I get to understand, then you can get to understand. I have no question that they're geoengineering the atmosphere. I have no question they can reach storms and weather changes. If you haven't seen Weather is a Weapon, excellent DVD by our good friend Bob Fletcher. The DVD, What in the World Are They Spraying? The 4-tape set on chemtrails, the 4-tape set on HARP, the 4-tape set on weather modification, the book on weather modification by Jerry Smith, and the book on HARP by Jerry Smith. And Jerry died here just a few months ago. You can see him being interviewed by Jesse Ventura. If you go up on YouTube and just type in Jerry Smith, Jesse Ventura YouTube, but I understand that they're geoengineering the atmosphere. And you'll certainly want to go to California Skywatch. But the Borjellin's disease is an entirely different situation. What are they doing? Quite frankly, I have to admit that after talking to Mike, I'm not sure what they're doing. But there's something there. I know the Clifford Connicom has been working at this for some time, on this whole entity of Morgellons disease. So we'll do some more programs. Hopefully you'll be able to understand, but this apparently is some sort of a life form. The people who have this disease and they have this constant feeling of suddenly crawling under the skin, and then these fibers will come out through the skin. What are these fibers? How does it all fit together? Well, there are lots of things I don't understand. But you keep listening to Radio Liberty, hopefully you will, and we'll all learn together. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, get the items we talked about on weather modification, on HARP, on chemtrails, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope, of course, you'll, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty as we reach out across America 5 hours a day, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We've been advertising for the Invita Medical Clinic. Invita, of course, has specific treatments for incurable cancer. Now, of course, they're not going to save everybody. When they're incurable, they get about an 18% survival rate. But that's a lot better than zero, because incurable means there is no survival. And certainly, if you'd like to know more about Invita, you can certainly go to our website, and we have a link to their website. We hope, of course, they have treatments for the chronic fatigue, Gulf War, fibromyalgia, autoimmune disease. They have alternative medical care. Let me suggest to you Invita. They do a great job, and you can find them on our webpage. Then, of course, we hope you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You want to get certainly the new DVD we're carrying. Well, first of all, Watchers 1. Now, of course, we'll have Watchers 2. You'll want to get the four-tape set, our four-CD set, by Dr. Dennis Cuddy on the Illuminati. And certainly, I've heard them. I interviewed Dr. Cuddy, but I learned something every time I talk to him, and how this all ties together. You want to know more about the Bohemian Grove? You want to know more about the Skull and Bones and the Bilderbergers? We have, of course, four CD sets on these. Our number, telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if we don't get revival, why? We're going to lose this country. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.